Av. Should be a beautiful Chodesh of Geula. Good morning. And we are beginning our preparations for Pesach. It's 2 weeks out, so there's no procrastinating any further. Two Sundays before Pesach. I don't know if in the Gemara they had such a din of the Sunday before Pesach, but that's a very big, the Sundays pre-Pesach, I know that's a very important time. So here we are, Sunday before Pesach, and we're going to begin discussing a very familiar topic today, perhaps on a deeper level and with a newer perspective that we haven't thought about before, the concept of Bedikas Chametz. So I just want to begin with probably the most familiar, the most popular practice that is associated with all of Bedikas Chametz. Bedikas Chametz, if you want to study the halachas of Bedikas Chametz in the Shulchan Aruch and with the commentary with the Mishnah Berurah, which is what we're going to reference today several times, so you look in the beginning of the fifth chelek of the Mishnah Berurah, and there are several simonim, several sections at the beginning of the laws of Pesach, Hilchos Pesach, which you see on the screen, related to the laws of Bedikas Chametz. If I were to take a survey, what is the most popular aspect, what's the most famous and most popular aspect of Bedikas Chametz, what would you say? It's the bread! It's the pieces of bread! Right, everybody is always very into the pieces of bread. Some of us have had various humorous stories, episodes. When I was 11 years old, I was that kid because my parents were doing construction on our home. And I was that kid who decided I was such a chacham. I was going to put one of the pieces of bread in the construction area. Why not? I mean, it's Bedikas Chametz, so you should check everywhere. No, we never found it. Never. I think it's still there. Not a smart move. Let's just say not a smart move Alt Hilchus Pesach. It's also not a smart move Alt Hilchus Shalom Bayis and Kibbut Av Aim. So just saying, you know, it's very good to be very religious and scrupulous. That's not a religiosity to put the Mechiras, the Bedikas Chametz bread. But what's the story with this bread? Let's start with that. So the Ramah in the end of Simen Tov Lamed Beis in Hilchos Pesach says, "V'noagin, there is a practice, lahaniach, to put psisei chametz b'mokom sheyimtzeim habodek. There is a minig to put pieces of chametz in a place that the person searching will find them." Interesting. Not what I was thinking when I was growing up, that you're supposed to hide it so that no one will find it. You're actually supposed to put it in a place that people will find it. Sheyimtzeim. Why? According to the Ramah, k'dei shelo yehi birchaso levatala, so that it shouldn't be a bracha levatala, because a person recites a bracha before doing bedikas chametz al bior chametz, on the burning of the chametz, which is going to be the conclusion of the whole process the next day. So as to make sure that the person has chametz, the Ramah says, noakim, to put out bread. So the problem is that this argument that we shouldn't have a bracha levatala, bracha for no reason, is that a strong argument? Does that make sense to you? Would we really be worried that this would be considered a bracha levatala, a bracha in vain, if you didn't find pieces of bread? The Shari Tshuva says, I don't know what you're talking about over here. Really? Look at the Berhetev. Berhetev says, I'm not sure. Mishnah Berurah quotes a lot of Achronim and say, wait a minute, I don't understand this. The bracha is on the searching. Or the bracha's on the burning. Of course you're going to have some chametz. What are you going to eat for breakfast tomorrow? So there's a little bit of a controversy about this. I'm trying to figure out what's going on. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Arizal. From the Halakha Ari, the great Mekubal, the lion, Rabbi Yitzchak Luria. It says, Minegze writes this, Nosan Tam Leminegze, Shianiach Yud Psisim. You should put 10 pieces of bread. According to the Kabbalah, you should put 10 pieces of bread. And I think, if I were to take a survey, just those whose screens are on, thumbs up. How many people put 10 pieces of bread? 10 pieces of bread, that's it. That's according to the Ari HaKadosh, according to the Kabbalah, 10 pieces of bread. So what's going on? Originally, nobody put bread. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam, shehakol nehiyeh bedvaro. Some people put bread. Some people didn't put bread. 10 pieces of bread. How much bread? What's the issue with whether we should or we should not? The minig is yes to do that. The question is, what does that mean? What's the meaning? How do we connect to that? A second thing to think about is how we get started on the laws of Pesach. If you open up a Mishnayos, a Gemara, to Maseches Pesachim, what is the first topic that you will encounter in Maseches Pesachim? What's the answer? Bedikas Chametz. That's right. Or Larba Asar, says the Mishnah, the night of the 14th. So the Gemara has to have a whole curious debate. How do you know that Or Larba Asar means the night of the 14th, the night before the 14th day? Bod kenes chametz la'or anir. You do bedikas chametz. So many of us have seen this Mishnah, are familiar with this. Did we ever ask ourselves, wait a second, why does the first issue that the Mishnah bring to our attention, why does that focus on bedikas chametz? Why do you think that makes sense? So you might say, well, it's because it's calendarically the first thing that you do in the observance of Pesach, right? This is pre-Pesach, and that totally makes sense, and I get that. That might be parallel to some of what the Mishnayos introduced in the beginning of Shabbos, that starts with Friday activities, so this is pre-Pesach activity. But I wonder if there's something else here that somehow, at the heart of the experience of Pesach, right at the get-go, we have to really think about this idea of searching for chametz. Which is interesting because we don't find a mitzvah of searching in other areas of halacha as it relates to things that are not kosher. Why are we searching in general? Which brings us to the last point, obviously, who has to do with the chomer, the seriousness, the focus on the Isser of Chametz on Pesach. And you ever notice, I mean, of course you notice, there are so many chumras on Pesach. Now, the Rebbe Reb Nachman of Breslov cautions us not to overdo it with the chumras. Don't go insane, bananas. But that's okay because the halacha already has lots of chumras in it, so you don't have to add too many of your own. I know some people on this Zoom I see are very scrupulous about adding tons of chumras, and you know you don't have to blowtorch your braces. You know what I mean? I'm saying, like, don't overdo it with chumras. We have lots of chumras already. But why do we have so many chumras? And where do they come from? If you have a regular old-fashioned cholent on a Shabbos morning, it's delicious, it's amazing. And somebody says, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. A drop of chazer fell into our cholent. This is a classic shaila in Yoredeya. For those who are learning Yoredeya, this comes up all the time, no? Tray falls into your chalent, right? The pig fell into the chalent or the... Now, no one ever stepped back and asked, why was there chazer in the kitchen in the first place? That's a good question also. I'm not answering that question. You have to figure that out yourself. But let's assume there was chazer in the kitchen and it fell in the chalent. Why the chalent pot was open? That I can't tell you either. The chalent pot is open. You're running around with chazer. It falls in and... So you call the rabbi. He says, it's bittul b'shishim. As long as you have 60 times the treif that fell into the chalent, you have 60 times the milk that fell into the meat pot, 60, v'chule, v'chule, bittul b'shishim, right? We all know about bittul b'shishim, 60 times, not for Pesach. Pesach, it's also b'mashu. B'mashu, even the tiniest speck, tiniest drop. And this caused a tremendous amount of angst in Europe, in many communities, where they had various crises, halachic crises, because of, unfortunately, anti-Semitic acts and all kinds of other craziness. Imagine you lived in a town and they only had one reservoir for drinking, and some anti-Semite takes a box of Cheerios and dumps it in the reservoir. the day before, or the day of Chametz, the day of Pesach, the guy is a lamdan. He knows that maybe Chametz before Pesach, it's going to be nisbatel and it won't be chozer for neor. So this guy comes the first day of Pesach and he dumps a box of Cheerios in your drinking water for the whole town. This came up many times in Europe. They had crises like this. So why is this an issue? It's bata b'shishim. The answer is because it's b'mashu. On Pesach, you don't have bittel b'shishim. So why is it that there is such a chumrah when it comes to Inyanei Pesach? So these are the three issues. They're all interrelated. The question of the bread, the Ramaz Minig, that we do based on the Arizal of 10 pieces of bread. What's the significance of that? Why should or shouldn't we? What's going on with that? The centrality of Bedikas Chametz as the first topic that we're going to greet, which is part of why I wanted to talk about it this morning, just as we're beginning really our Yochel Merosh Chodesh, and just in general, why we're so concerned about Chametz. So we're going to think about this in two steps. The first step is, let's just talk about some of the practical aspects of Bedikas Chametz so that we are prepared this year to do the Bedika properly. And the second component of it is to think about Al Derech Avuda as it relates to us to understand the message or the take home. So let's talk about Bedikas Chametz as a halachic concept. Did you ever wonder why do you need to do Bedikas Chametz? The Gemara tells us in Pesachim Adav Vav and Medbeis that there is an institution called Bittel Chametz. Just by a show of hands, how many of you have recited the paragraph of Kol Chamira? Yes? I see, okay, we got a bunch of hands. Mrs. Greenfield, you got this Kol Chamira down pat. Awesome. What is Kol Chamira? Kol Chamira is a declaration that you are nullifying, mevatel your chametz. Now, there is a big debate whether or not that act of nullification is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of removing chametz, the mitzvah of tashbisu, destroying chametz. So by halachically, mentally, emotionally disconnecting from it, that's removing it. Or maybe it's not a mitzvah per se, but it's a mechanism to get rid of your chametz. And there's also a debate about whether or not that act of bittul also is a form of hefker, making something ownerless, which, according to the language, the nusach that we say libatel, it should be nullified, libatel velahave hefker, ka'afra da'ara. Which, if you say, I don't know how many people do this, some people have the minig to say kol chamira three times. Anybody have that minig? I saw some achronim say that. Some achronim say kol chamira three times, like you have other repetitions in halacha of three times for emphasis. And Rav Avadya writes in his Sefer, in Chazon Avadya, that you should at least one time make sure to say libatel v'lave hefker, which I think is what most people say. Libatel, it should be batel, and it should be ownerless. So there's a debate in the Rishon whether it's mitam hefker, or it's just a new din of bitel because you don't want any association with that chametz, because it's otherwise, if it's in your property, you could potentially violate the Isurim Daraisa, the special Isurim of Bal Yiroa. It should not be seen. Bal Yimatzi should not be found. So that is enough to get rid of all the chametz. So why do you need to do Bedikas Chametz? If all I need to do on a biblical level, on a Doraisa level, is to say any chametz that's in my property, I'm mevatel it. I have nothing to do with it. I don't want to connect to it. I don't want to own it. I don't want it to be associated with me at all. So why do I need to do Bedika? What am I looking for? Just make it hefker. Just be mevatel it. So what's the whole story? Why do we need to do Bedikas Chametz? Any suggestions? You can unmute if you want. There's a way, just press the button. Why do you need to do Bedikas Chametz? You can be mevatel it. You're going to be mevatel all the chametz. All right, not everybody at once. All right, so I'll give you two suggestions. First one appears in Tosfos. What's that? Oh, I heard someone.
No, So I was just going to say, sometimes it's good to do something, not just not do something, but to do something positive.
Good. So we got to do something positive. Yes, and we're going to come back to that more later. I totally agree. But there's got to be, in this case, there's got to be a very specific reason. We're going to go to so much trouble to B'digas Chametz. So Tosfos says, I'll tell you why. Right? Tosfos is the commentary on the side of the Gemara, on the outside of the commentary. It's a collection of the great rabbinic luminaries from the French school, the grandchildren of Rashi and their students in the 12th and 13th centuries. So Tosfos, which is the first approach, he says, wait a second. If you have chametz lying around in your house, it's true you maybe were mevatlet, but when you wake up on that first morning after the Seder, man, you're bombed. After the first Seder, although this year it's Motzoi Shabbos, you're going to be well rested, but the first morning of Pesach, you stagger into the kitchen like some college student after a very, very long night of studying, and your mom is like not paying attention at all. Not paying attention at all. You're like half asleep, half comatose, no coffee yet. You're just staggering around in the kitchen. So what happens? You're not paying attention. Every year, what do? You fumble your way into the kitchen. You turn on the lights, maybe, but there's a box of Entenmann's that's always there. It's miyuchad. It's in the corner there. And Baruch Hashem, it's Entenmann's. It never goes bad. It stays like 6-8 months. It's like the Eruv Chatzeros. You know what I'm talking about? There's no preservatives in there, yet somehow the Entenmann's donuts are always fresh. It's like the Lechem Apanim. So you're not careful. You're not awake. The whole year, the first thing you do, of course, upstairs, you wash Negelwasser, and you're ready, you know, you have a minute, you eat before Shacharis, whatever. You go, the first thing you do, you just take that box, you open it up, and you eat a donut. That's what you do every day. So Tosfos says, Shema yavo lo ochlo. Lo b'dilimine. It's not like ham. If you had, God forbid, if you had bacon, a ham sandwich in your kitchen, you would never go anywhere near it. I don't know why it would be in your kitchen, but if it was there, it would be under lock and key. You would never have anything to do with it. It would be a giant sign that says, ham sandwich. But Tosfos says, lo b'dilamine. So if you leave the chametz hanging around in your house, even if you were mevatelet before Pesach, and I meant it, I don't want to have anything to do with it, I'm not connected to it, but you might accidentally, God forbid, come to eat it. Pesach, it's an iser chametz. That's chametz is an iser of Karis, God forbid. And Tosfos says, there's a double Balyiro, Balyimatze. All these Chumas, we have to be so careful. Add Bedikas Chametz. All year round you eat Chametz. There's nothing inherently wrong with Chametz. So make sure you do Bedikas Chametz. Even if you're going to do Midoraisa, biblically you're going to do Bittul, that's not enough. Midrabanan, they said, do Bedika. Get rid of it. Physically remove it. Check for it and get rid of it. That's option number one. Option number two, Rishonim say, it's quoted here in the Mishnah Berurah, is maybe that box of Entenmann's, it's sitting in your closet, and your mamish, you're looking at it when you're going to say Kol Chamira, and you're thinking, all the chametz in my Rishus, I don't want to have anything to do with it. But then you look at it, and you're like, it's delicious. I don't want to have anything to do with it. I'm making it odorless and hefker. What if I have 3 boxes of Entenmann's? What if I have frosted wheats? Frosted Wheaties? I don't know, chveis. What if I have 17 bottles of green label Johnny Walker? His mom is still walking in the closet. So some of the Rishonim say, well, maybe you're not going to do a proper bittul. Bittul assumes that in your heart, you really want to nullify this thing. But you know what? Maybe you don't want to nullify it right now. Maybe there's a little part of you that you're not so okay to nullify. You don't really want to be mevatelet. So then what happens? Then it's not so pashut. Not so pashut. Maybe your bittul is not so good. So you know what they said? Let's do bedika. And therefore, even if you weren't mevatel b'leiv shalem, you got rid of it. So if someone were to stop you this afternoon when you're standing in the supermarket and they say, why do you have to search for chametz? Don't you just do bittul? Don't you make it ownerless? Don't you make it nullified? You say, of course you make it nullified. That's midoraisa, biblically. But rabbinically, we want to search and get rid of all the chametz that we've got, so that number one, we shouldn't accidentally come to eat it. And number two, to make sure that even if we weren't really, really focused on actually ridding it from our hearts, we got rid of it physically. So that's the first thing. That's why we do bedikas chametz. Then the Mishnah tells us in the beginning of Psachim that you have specific places where you do bedikas chametz. The Mishnah tells us, and this is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tav Lamed Gimel Os Gimel, Bodek Kol Hamakomos. You have to check in all the places, if you could see, Sheyesh Lochosh, that you have to be concerned. Shema Hichnisu Behem Chametz. You have to be concerned. Maybe you put chametz in there. Let's say you have a boidim. Anybody remember what a boidim is? I don't know if anybody has them today, but my grandmother, Allah Shalom, used to have one. It's called a crawl space. But my grandmother, for her, it was called a boidim. It was a high-up crawl space, which was one of the reasons that the Ribbono Shel Olam brought me into this world and made me 6 feet tall, so that when I came to visit my grandmother, I could reach the boidim to get the things down. Did you ever think to put chametz in the crawl space? No one ever put crawl space chametz. Never. In that house. Never. There was no reason to. What did you steal? What did you put in there? What did you hide in there? You put the schach, you put winter clothes, you put, I don't know, an old typewriter that you didn't want to give away. You never put any chametz in there. So al pidin, no one ever went with chametz into the crawl space. You don't have to do bedikas chametz in the crawl space. The bathroom, the restroom. I don't know. Maybe somebody's taking a bath, eating a shawarma at the same time. But even the most haimish of people who eat shawarmas in every possible circumstance usually don't eat shawarma while they're taking a bath. It just doesn't go together. You know what I'm saying? Oreos. Do you eat Oreos when you're brushing your teeth? When you're taking a shower? But you don't put chametz in the bathroom, so you don't have to do bedikas chametz in all of these places. However, any place where you do bring chametz, you have to do bedikas chametz. So, for example, in our house, the most common place to find chametz is in the car. There's more chametz in the car than there is in the kitchen cabinet. That is the Spitz Makom Shema. Now, it could be because we have Bli Ayin Hara, five children, who the primary thing that they think that the car is meant for is a kitchen. And whenever you go back there, you find all kinds of layers of chametz from Kislev, from Teve Shvat. Every time you think you clean the thing, there's no, you know what I'm talking about? You know, it's not just the wrappers. There's like chametz gumur. Like, you might find a half a bagel in there. It's shayach. Even you clean it every Sunday, so that's a makam shemachnizim bo chametz. So Rav Avadya writes, you should know, Rav Avadya writes in the Tshuvas in Yechabadas and Chelek Aleph, that on the night of bedikas chametz, you have to do bedikas chametz also in the cars. You have to do it in any place, makam shemachnis bo chametz. Sometimes you put chametz in the garage. Maybe you store closed chametz in there. So if you store packaged food in the garage, you have to check the garage for chametz. It doesn't have to just be open food. It could be closed food also. Let's say you have, I don't know, Ziploc with closed macaroni or bags of something else. You keep in the garage, you have to check there also. If you have a cabinet, any place that's shayach, it's a makom shemachnis bo chametz. Sometimes you eat in the living room. Shh, don't tell anybody. But sometimes, kanzain, you might end up eating something in the living room. You have to do bedikas chametz. Any place you machnis chametz, you have to do bedikas chametz. Now, that's on the first level. But there's also a second level. And this is important, I think, on a practical standpoint. Baruch Hashem, the Shulchan Aruch points out that people take chametz and Pesach and cleaning very seriously. Sometimes actually too seriously. Sometimes people get so enthusiastic, it becomes spring cleaning and winter cleaning and everything. Like, that's wiping the dust off of the pictures on the mantle. That's not cleaning for Pesach. That's just dusting. Okay, you want to dust, that's fine. That's not cleaning for Pesach. But here's the thing. Let's say a person does a very, very thorough job, a very thorough job of cleaning their house and really prepping it for Pesach. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Me'ikar Adin, you still need to do Bedikas Chametz on the night of the Seder, because as much as we're cleaning it carefully before, we're not cleaning it necessarily with an eye that says there's never going to be any chametz here again pre-Pesach. However, and this is what the Shari Tshuva points out, that if you were to do, let's say, in a house that has three bedrooms and a kitchen and a living room and a den and a basement and a garage, if you were to spend your bedikas chametz doing a fine-tooth comb bedika, it would take you many, many hours. And some people do that. But not everybody does that. So why not? Why is it that many people, it takes them, I don't know, 20 minutes to do bedikas chametz, they kind of look around, generally speaking, but they don't go through every crack and crevice, as it says in the Gemara. So the answer is, the Shari Tshuva points out, he says, look, for many people, they did such a fundamental good cleaning job before Pesach, that when it comes to the night of Pesach, they can be more lenient on Bedikas Chametz. Why? Because they mamish cleaned it out. They spent the Sunday before Pesach, they scrubbed down and they searched, they went in every couch cushion, they vacuumed it. They went through every pants pocket, they went through every purse. If a person, mamish, did that the week before Pesach, the Shari Tshuva says that's why many people, the night of Pesach, it doesn't take them 3 hours to do Bedikas Chametz. It doesn't even take an hour for some people. Because they are relying on the fact that they did a fundamental, like very, very thorough, attentive cleaning before. So this is an important din to be aware of when we are thinking about preparing for Pesach. A, we've got to prepare in advance. B, even if you clean, you still have to do Bedikas Chametz. But C, many people are more lenient to do a less thorough Bedikas Chametz since they did a major thorough cleaning job before. So that's where you need to do Bedikas Chametz. Any place where you are Machnes Chametz, and it's a place that even if you cleaned it, you should still do Bedikas Chametz, but there are different layers of how thorough the Bedikas Chametz needs to be if you already did a thorough cleaning job. When do you do Bedikas Chametz? So now we know where, but when? So the Mishnah says, Or La Arba Asar, the night of the 14th. Well, when does that mean? So there actually is a debate. Most Achronim assume it means Tseis HaKochavim. All three stars are out. So when is Tseis HaKochavim in Chicago? So for Motzoi Shabbos, we usually do 42 minutes, but for this, you probably could do earlier, 30 minutes, 22 minutes, 24 minutes, something like that. If you're in Israel, it's much earlier. It's like 20 minutes or 14 minutes, depending, you know, if you, how close you are to the equator. Even earlier than that is Shkia, and that's some. A minority opinion says that you start with Shkia, but we do the Bedika at night this year, not on the night of the 14th. Why not? Because this year, the night of the 14th is Friday night. It's Leil Shabbos. So this year, we do Bedikas Chametz on Thursday night, the night of the 13th. We do the Bedika on Thursday night, and we hold on to the Chametz until Shabbos morning. And then Shabbos morning, we're going to do Bir Chametz. You can't burn the Chametz. So there are two different ways of doing this. Actually, there are multiple ways. One is, make sure you don't have too much chametz left. That's the first thing. Second thing is, some people will not leave any chametz till Shabbos. They're going to burn it all before, and that's totally fine. They're just going to eat egg matzah for their Shabbos meals. That's totally fine. You can eat egg matzah on Erev Pesach, because you can't be Yotze egg matzah at the Seder. So you can eat egg matzah. Rav Shechter Shlita pointed out last week in his shir, you can for sure eat egg matzah. Don't worry about the Darkei Moshe. I know, Lydia, you're thinking Darkei Moshe says the minig was not to do that. It just meant the minig was not to bake egg matzah. But if they had egg matzah, you could eat it. Don't worry. I know that you're thinking that Darkei Moshe. Okay. So that's option number one. Don't have chametz hanging around on Shabbos. Another option, if you have chametz hanging around, is to like make it into a tiny little piece of lach and throw it out into the wind. You're making a face. Not such a great idea. Third option is flush down the toilet. Not everybody's so excited about that because that's a little bit of a bizarre in Oakland. The other issue is there's a friend of mine, I'm not going to say his name, who once learned in this kolo, who was like, you know, when we are yeshiva bachrim in Israel, you get very enthusiastic about a lot of things. And he wanted to be mahadr to make sure that he had shalosh shudis with chametz on Shabbos, Erev Pesach. He ended up with an entire bag of pita 20 minutes before Sof Sman Achila on Shabbos. What do you do with that? The Israeli toilets, they can't accommodate a whole bag of pitas. Even with the two-button flush. You know what I'm talking about? It's not Shabbos. What do you do? It's how much pita can you eat for Shalosh Shudis? So it's, just be careful about this. I'm saying, don't overdo it with the pitas on Shabbos, Shechal, Erev Pesach. Most folks can assume you can either throw it down the toilet, flush it down, or you can throw it out to the wind. And then you say your bittul. Two more halachic points about bedikas chametz that are very practical. There's a lot more to say, but just for brevity, what about bisman hazeh that many of us sell our chametz? Why are we doing bedikas chametz? Because we want to make sure that we're rid of all the chametz. But we're going to have chametz in the house, many of us. You have a closet full of chametz that you're going to sell to the non-Jew. You're going to ask the rabbi to be your shaliach, and he's going to sell it on your behalf. You're not selling it to the rabbi. The rabbi doesn't want your chametz on Pesach, trust me. But he's going to sell it to a non-Jew on your behalf. And this practice, it's interesting, it's not discussed in the Shulchan Aruch. You know why? Because in the time of the Shulchan Aruch, most people never heard of this. Why would you sell chametz? You didn't have chametz. You ate it up, and that was it. But in the 18th and 19th centuries, when Jews oftentimes in Eastern Europe owned kretschmas, they owned little inns, and for a living they had schnapps, so they had very big issues dealing with how to survive if they had to spill all their schnapps out. So just like we have, the Gemara says in the beginning of Bechoros, you could sell a firstborn animal before it's born to a non-Jew so that it doesn't have the sanctity of a Bechor. So Behemam Vakeris, that's also the source for selling your chametz. So already in the 18th century, end of the 18th century, beginning of the 19th century, they started to talk about Mechiras chametz. So you know what some people do? Some people, I don't think this is our practice, but I think some people, they sell their chametz on the 13th. They sell the chametz on the 13th. And this way, they don't have to worry about Bedikas chametz because all the chametz that they would theoretically search for is already sold. But I don't think people do that. So now comes the machlokas. The Mishneh Berurah quotes two opinions. The Mishneh Berurah was authored, edited by the Chafetz Chaim, right? He died in the beginning of the 1930s. So he says, I know lots of people who sell chametz. So some people say, some poskim say, this is the Mishneh Berurah in Tuf Lamed Vav. Let's say you have a closet where you have chametz, and you're going to keep that chametz there on Pesach. So, do you have to check it for chametz? You have to do bedikas chametz? Some achronim say, no, you don't have to check it for chametz. You're going to sell it tomorrow. Not only are you going to sell the chametz, we have the practice that we rent that space to the non-Jew. We make a kinyan chatzer. So the non-Jew actually owns, he's renting your closet in the kitchen for all of Pesach. So some people, they said, you know what we're going to do? You don't need to do bedikas chametz. I'm going to sell the chametz on the 13th. And now the chatzer is not yours. You don't have to check a goy's chutzer. I don't have to check the goy's closet. But we don't do that. We do the bedika on the night of the 14th, and then we sell the chametz tomorrow. So some achronim say, you don't have to do bedika's chametz any place that you're going to sell the chametz to the goy. Other achronim say, you still have to do it. Why? Because right now, the chametz is yours. Maybe you won't sell it tomorrow. So some achronim come back, and they say, what are you talking about? Of course you're going to sell it tomorrow. Everyone sells the chametz every year. So this is why, reason number two, that maybe some people in some communities, wherever they keep chametz, they don't check that place because they're going to sell it tomorrow. They're going to rent that space to the non-Jew. What if you're going to leave your house for Pesach? You're going to close the door, lock the front door, and you're going to rent the whole house to the guy. So then, according to many achronim, technically speaking, you don't have to do bedikas chametz. But we want to do bedikas chametz, so it's kedai to do bedikas chametz aleph or beis. Maybe leave one room that you do bedikas chametz on, and you're not going to rent to the non-Jew. There's no chametz there. Last point, not just practical about mechiras chametz, practical number two about traveling. A lot of people who travel, so they have to do their bedikas chametz the night before they travel. So if somebody's leaving town on Tuesday night, as long as it's within 30 days before Pesach, you have to do the Bedikas Chametz Tuesday night before you leave. If you're leaving Tuesday, you do it Monday night. There are two minhagim about putting out the 10 pieces of bread. Two opinions, if you're going to do it early. But you have to still do Bedikas Chametz even if you're leaving your house early. Even if you're leaving a week before Pesach, you still have to do Bedikas Chametz at night with the flashlight, with the candle. It's just that you don't make a bracha. But the night of Bedikas Chametz, wherever you are, you have to do Bedikas Chametz there. So if I'm traveling, I'm going to do two Bedikas Chametz. The first one the night before I leave my house, even if I'm going to rent the whole thing to a non-Jew, I'm going to do my Bedikas Chametz at least on one room to be mekayim this special mitzvah derabanan. I'm going to do Bedikas Chametz. And then when I get to where I'm going that night, I'm going to do Bedikas Chametz there. Let's say I have a rental car. I have to do Bedikas Chametz in my rental car. I'm going to make a bracha in the place where I'm staying. I'm renting that from whatever. I'm going to do Bedikas Chametz there. Or if I'm staying at a family friend or a neighbor or relative, whatever, they're going to do Bedikas Chametz. I'll join with them. But it's important to know you have to do Bedikas Chametz on your own house and also on the place that you're renting or going or participate with them in their Bedikas Chametz on the night of the 14th, which this year is going to be the 13th. So these are just five quick overall topics. Why we do Bedikas Chametz? Because maybe we might find Chametz, or because maybe didn't do a bittul properly. Where do we do Bedikas Chametz? Anywhere where it's shaykh to find Chametz. When do we do Bedikas Chametz? The night of the 14th, but this year the night of the 13th. Where? What about Mechiras Chametz? So some sell it early and rent the space, this way you don't have shaylas. Others say, no, of course you have to do Bedikas Chametz. And then the last question, if someone who's traveling, they have to do Bedikas Chametz early. Any questions, comments, or observations on this first issue on the halachas of Bedikas Chametz? Questions, comments, or observations? No, sounds quiet. Okay, so now let's turn our attention to the questions that we started with in terms of the meaning, the message of Bedikas Chametz. So on the topic of Bedikas Chametz, I'm going to share the screen so you can see a piece from the Heilige Koznitzer Magid, from the Avodas Yisrael. The Koznitzer Magid, Zecher Tzadik Levrach Eschus Yagan Aleinu, Rav Yisrael Hapstein, was one of the great early Hasidic masters. And he has this section here where he talks about Orla Arba Asa, the beginning. Orla Arba Asa, Bodkinesa Chametz. He says, let me tell you. Kvar Pirashti, I've already told you. Shaha Chametz, Hu Hayetzer Hara. The chametz in our lives is the Yetzer Hara. Kamo Shapirish Rambam, like the Rambam says, Shachametz hu meloshon gzela. The word chametz, which means leaven, is related to the word theft. Miloshon ashru chamotz. Abuse. Stealing. V'lachein, therefore, chametz mirames ala yetzahara. Chametz hints to us about the yetzahara. Why? Shemi shaholich ba'atzas yetzahara, a person who follows the yetzahara, who nigzal, they are stolen, mishor sho, from their root. Chametz is the yetzahara. What does that mean? What do we mean when we say that chametz, something which is leaven, is associated with the yetzahara? So it means many things. Let's maybe perhaps focus on one aspect this morning. Just one, but obviously there are many layers here. The Gemara says in Brachos on Daf Yud Zayin, each one of us has an inner will, an inner ratzon. The Gemara says, we, each morning when we wake up, we have an inner voice that says, Ritzoneinu, Ribono Shel Olam, it's our will, Ritzoneinu Lasos Ritzoncha. We want to do what you want of us. We really want to do the right thing. Ritzoneinu, that's our ratzon, to do your ratzon, but there's an impediment. There's a difficulty, there's a challenge. What is that? Who prevents us? Mi ma'akev, says the Gemara, se'or shebe'isa. The leaven in the dough. Se'or. Se'or, the leavening, the inflation. Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Twersky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, in many of his works, he notes that the Yetzer Hara, in his view, is the personification, is the expression of a low self-esteem, of a lack of self-awareness. He says that the definition of low self-esteem is having a warped, a mistaken self of ourselves, a sense of ourselves. We are in a healthy place. We are living with Hashem. We are in a good place when we understand and have healthy self-confidence, meaning a true self-awareness, an understanding of our strengths, our gifts, our limitations, of who we are and where we are, of understanding that we are a spark, a chelek elokam mimal, that we are truly an inner expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But sometimes we don't have that perception of ourselves. We have a warped sense of self. Imagine you take flour and water and you put it together in a bowl, and what you see is an accurate reflection of what it is. But over time, it starts to inflate and morph into this balloon, which is a total misrepresentation of what it really is. What you see is not what it is. And so now we have this challenge of being unable to realize our potential. Ritzoneinu la'asos ritzon Hashem. We want to do what you want us to accomplish in our lives, but we don't even know ourselves. We've lost sight of ourselves. We don't understand ourselves. We have no sense of self. The Lashon, the Kli Yakar, is that the Se'or Shebe'isa Yitzhara is Mechalel Kedushas Ha'adam. The word Chilul means vacuum. We create this vacuum, this emptiness from our own sanctity, because our sense of self is difficult to understand. We can't perceive who we are, what our strengths are, what are we supposed to be doing. So we're gripped by this mistaken sense of identity. Our identity, our true identity, like the Halakha Kashrut says, the chametz, it was stolen from us. The Yetzer Hara, that lack of self-confidence, has stolen our identity, our sense of self. So even though inflation and development and growth in terms of chimutz is healthy in certain areas of life, we need to sometimes have that bravado, but at its core, it's not a healthy thing. And that's why at least 1 week a year, we have to free ourselves from that and get back to our essential true self. That's why we're free from the Yetzer Hara on Pesach. We're meshuchrarim. It's zman chirusenu. Bal yira, bal yimatze. We asked ourselves, why there's so many chumas on Pesach? Because Pesach is the beginning of our rebuilding of our spiritual selves, of Chodesh Nisan, Chodesh Hazelachem. It's the beginning of our spiritual dimension. Yes, Rosh Hashanah is in Tishrei, but that's of our physical dimension. Of our spiritual dimension, that happens in Nisan. So we need to start in a place where we're free from the Yetzer Hara. And that Yetzer Hara, it's so pernicious. It crops up in lots of different ways, telling us what we are and what we aren't, and what we can do and what we can't do. So there's 1 week where we get started and we say, there's no connection. We're absolutely, completely, and totally free from that voice. Bal yirai, bal yimatzei. It shouldn't be seen or heard. Even a crumb of that is a problem. Because this little voice is very pernicious. It's very dangerous. And maybe that's why not only is it important to completely and totally, for 1 week, disconnect from the Yetzer Hara, to come back to our true selves, to understand that we are a spark of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to really introspect, to search our hearts and souls and figure out, what are my kochos? What is my job? Why am I in this world? Now I understand why Bedika is so important. Because number one, you can't expect that you're going to show up on the first day of Pesach and it's all going to be gone. You need to invest. You need to prepare. You need to search. We need to find, where are those voices coming from? Where are they hidden? We need to remove them. We need to get rid of that Yetzirah that drags us down, that tells us that we can't be our best emissaries. We can't be our best messengers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. But now we can also understand that it's even deeper. And that is that it's really about the process. It's the process of finding our true selves, of experiencing that aha, of like, oh, I have that capability. I have that potential. I need to look for it. Searching, pursuing greatness, that's where greatness is. We're never going to be perfect. That's part of understanding ourselves. That's part of self-awareness. That's part of having a healthy self-concept, is understanding that we're not perfect. Understanding where we're strong and where we have challenges. Understanding what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects from us. And that pursuing that is a lifelong process. Meaning, the struggle with the Yetzer Hara, the opportunity for growth, is a process. In that respect, perhaps from one perspective, the greatest part of Pesach is the search for chametz. Because we can't live without chametz a whole year. And it's very possible that there's going to be a little drop of chametz somewhere in the house that we can't find, and we're bevatel that chametz. But what's the avoda? The avoda is, are we searching for it? Are we striving to get to that level where there's no chametz? Even though it's okay if a little bit of chametz is there in the house because we're mevatel it. The question is just, do we want to try to pursue that? Do we want to try to be our best selves? Yes, the elements that we haven't yet fixed, we're going to be mevatel those. We're going to let them go. And it's important to know that that's okay too. Bittul is midoraisa. If there's something that we haven't totally fixed yet, we can let it go. We can say, that's not me. I don't want that. And how am I going to fix it? I'm going to work on it. But to realize that it's the pursuit of greatness which is crucial, that's the avodah of Bedikas Chametz. Maybe that's why the whole Masechta starts with Bedikas Chametz. Because at the end of the day, where do we need to begin? Not just to prepare, but to understand that that's the primary avodah of life, is to always be bodik after that Yetzer Hara, to always be searching to be our best selves. And maybe now I understand the whole debate, the back and forth about the 10 pieces of bread. What's the machlokas? The Rama is saying, you know why you should put out 10 pieces of bread? He's saying, because what you have to realize is that every time you search for chametz, you're going to find it. You are Mekayim, the mitzvah. The Achronim say, the Mishneh Berurah quotes the many Achronim who say, of course, you don't have to put out 10 pieces of bread because the mitzvah is searching. The mitzvah is searching, and it doesn't matter whether you find. If you are focused on thinking about, who am I? What does the Ribbono Shel Olam want from me? What am I doing in this world? Thinking about where the Yetzer Hara is in your life, that's the Kiyum of Bedikas Chametz. You don't need bread. Comes the Ramah, comes the Mekubalim, saying, no. It's not because we need the bread. It's because what we should realize is that whenever we search, we will find chametz. If you bother to search, then we'll realize we're going to find those imperfections and we're going to get rid of them. It's just about searching. So both deos, you could argue, Alpi Drush, both of them agree that the inyan is searching. The main thing is to search, to look for where that Yetzer Hara has nestled into our identity. The machlokas is just, what are we focusing on? Is the fact that we're searching, that's the main thing? Or that when we search, we're also going to find? So I'll leave you with one last ha'ara. Now, we started with the questions of, why do we have this minig about yes or no on the 10 pieces? We started with, why does Psachim start with Bedikas Chametz? Why are we so machmer on Chametz? Chametz is about that inflated sense of self, that not understanding our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our relationship to ourselves. That's that lack of understanding, that lack of appropriate self-worth, self-confidence. That Yetzer Hara is so pernicious, it's so dangerous, we have to get rid of every shemitz of it, and we have to search after it. But now we understand that the searching is the goal, that's the pursuit of greatness, that's what life is all about. That we let go, we're mevatel the things that we feel that we're not going to tackle yet, They're out of our reach. We just mavatal them. But the things that are in our reach, we're going to keep looking for them. And whether or not we put out the pieces of bread because we realize that without the bread, we're mekayim something, or putting out the bread to see. We got to put the bread at lamaisa. You know why? Because we have to strengthen our confidence in ourselves. I think one thing that we can do, I would suggest this practically, is that when you walk around the house for Bedikas Chametz, you don't just think about and don't just look for the bread. We think for ourselves. When we go into this room, when we go into the garage, we think, you know, how have I been when I drove? Have I been patient, respectful? Have I reached out to other people? Have I driven to do acts of chesed? When I walk into my living room, I think about what my relationship is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the living room. Where is my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in my dining room? You know, have I had a good sense of self of what my Shabbos meal can look like? How I connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in my basement? Bedikas Chametz is looking for the Yetzer Hara, not because it's like some kind of Disney World game where we have to, you know, knock out the Chametz. No. It's about building a relationship with ourselves, about having a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is deep connected to ourselves. So where is my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I'm looking for the Chonis Tukin. I'm looking for that little voice that's stolen away, that Chometz, that Ashru Chometz, that's stolen away my connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When I do B'digas Chometz, I'm really checking the Chonis Tukin, the cracks and the crevices of my heart. And so when we walk around the house, it's a great opportunity to meditate on and think about my connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every aspect of my life. To do B'digas Chometz in our heart. And so by doing the physical B'digas Chometz, it gives us a little bit of a roadmap, a little bit of a context of how we can find those opportunities to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our individual hearts. So halavai, through this process of B'digas Chametz, we realize it's not just running around the house with a candle. It's an opportunity to take a step back and say, where is the Chametz in my life? Where are those distracting voices that I need to figure out how to deal with them so that I can come back to my essential self, to the Tzelem Elokim, to the Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, to that or that inner light, or La'ar Basar. That's what we find on the night of the 14th. We find the inner light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives when we search for it.